When I finally decided that it was time to really go, it was probably, I would say, within my maybe 13th or 14th year teaching, I started to get a nudge that the passion that I had for teaching, it was no longer, it wasn't the same as when I started.
The We Pivot podcast is for you if you're a woman who has recently pivoted into entrepreneurship. You'll find digital marketing tips, trends, and strategies to help grow your business in today's digital world. Join Tona and Al Haywood as we have fun breaking down all things digital marketing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the We Pivot podcast. I'm your host, Al Haywood, and we're continuing part two of our Who Is This Cute Couple series. The cute couple, meaning Al and Tona Haywood from the We Pivot podcast. Tona, how you been doing? How you doing?
Ooh, I've been great. I've just been anxiously awaiting my turn to tell my story.
Do you really have a story, Tona? Do you?
Well, I think you'll find out, even though my story is not the same as yours, I do have a story.
Is there a such thing as either one of us having a better story, or do you think that stories are just unique?
I believe each of our stories are unique and different. I don't consider one better than the other.
You know, I was just playing with you,
Oh, I know.
Well, before we get started, I do want to acknowledge that the month of March is Women's History Month. And for those of you who are not familiar, I mean, I believe everyone should be, but if you're not familiar, Women's History Month is a celebration of women's contribution to history, culture, and society, and has been observed actually since 1987. Wanted to acknowledge that before we got started. And we're going to dive right up in here with some questions. I guess these questions are pretty much the same from part one, with a maybe a variation on one of them. But you ready, Tona? You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Question number one, how old were you when you were exposed to entrepreneurship, and how did you feel about it? And also, who helped influence your decision to becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, that is a great question. I believe I was exposed to entrepreneurship in my teen years, and it was through my mother and actually my father as well. My mom is a very crafty person. She can make pillows, quilts, curtains, dresses if you need her to, even though she doesn't really make those right now, right. But a lot of various things. And when I was in high school, my mom started making rag dolls, basically stuffed dolls that she would make by hand. And she would do the yarn for the hair, stuff them, embroider their eyes, and they were all unique and different. And what she would do is she would make them, and then my dad would go to work at the hospital that he worked at, and he would ask individuals if they were interested in these dolls, and she would sell them. And she would also sell them at various markets as well. And that was pretty much my first exposure to entrepreneurship. Now, both of them had full-time jobs, but these are things that they kind of did on the side to make extra money. The other thing in high school that my mom started doing is she would make these little potpourri baskets, which were very small, and she would put little packets of potpourri in them in little sashes, and she would decorate the outside with lace and beads and all these different type of things. And since I went to an all girls high school, what I would do is I would ask different individuals if they would want one, if they were interested, and they would purchase them from me. So that was actually my first exposure to entrepreneurship. If I had an earlier one, this is the one that I actually remember, because I remember asking people if they wanted to buy these potpourri baskets.
Right. So in high school, you were asking people that?
In high school, I was asking people if they wanted to purchase a potpourri basket to put in their lockers, because girls like cute things and girls want their lockers to smell fresh too. So it was just the perfect combination.
You know, that's interesting. I mean, when you were trying to sell potpourri baskets, I was selling candy and taffy apples. So, but I would have bought a potpourri from you, because you guys wouldn't? Lockers. Yeah, yeah. We needed that too. Shoot. I wouldn't have told my friends, but I mean, I would have bought it and secretly put it in my locker.
Well, I think they would have saw it if you would have bought it, because they're kind of easy to spot and they would smell the smell. So I think they would notice.
That's right. You're right. So who influenced you? Did you answer that? Or I can't remember.
I did not. I'm glad that you went back to that. Basically, the person that influenced me was my husband, Al Haywood.
For real?
But before I go to that, I also have to say that my parents graduated from the selling of the dolls and the stuffed dolls, the potpourri baskets and the quilts and all these different things to owning a janitorial company. And after I graduated college, I was actually instrumental in helping them with the various contracts that they had when they were first starting out. What I noticed about entrepreneurship is I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that we had to do a lot of the work. I didn't like the fact that that when a client decided that they no longer wanted your services anymore, for whatever reason, now you have to go out and find a new contract and get a new contract. Mm. Those were just things that I just really didn't like about entrepreneurship. So I had said for myself that I never wanted to pursue anything dealing with entrepreneurship. But then later on, when I got married to my husband, Al Haywood, he was very instrumental on helping me kind of decide that entrepreneurship might not be a bad thing. He did not force me to be an entrepreneur. What happened is the Lord worked in miraculous ways and kind of put that drive and passion into my heart and really changed my heart for entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I do remember planting a seed here and there, whether if it was like, hey, maybe we need to get some realty property or this and that. So I do remember that, you know.
And
Yeah. So that's good. I appreciate you, you know, telling the audience that your husband was one of your influential entrepreneur decision. What would you call it? I don't know what you would call it, but thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So let's go to the next question. What led you to want to make digital marketing, of all things, your focus?
You know, the digital marketing came a little bit later, much later. And it came when we decided that we had bought our first home and we wanted to not only furnish our home, but we wanted to put artwork up. And we had went to Kirkland Homes one day and we bought artwork, but realized that, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we could probably make ourselves. I was an individual who loved to write poetry, scriptural poetry, and Al was an individual who knew graphic design and things like that. So we figured that it would be a good idea to just put those two talents together and come up with our own artwork to put on our walls. And so we took all of the things back to Kirkland Home and we started trying to figure out what can we create ourselves. And basically Al came up with various pictures that we could use and I came up with poetry, most times based off of scripture and sometimes just putting scriptures on the pictures. And in came Tona Inspirational Creations. That's where everything kind of started from. Well, with the start of that, what we realized is over time, we wanted a better way to do this artwork and make it available to other people because family and friends were purchasing it. But we kind of had some thoughts about doing things differently. And what ended up happening is we changed the name to Call to Edify, which we would provide inspirational prints. We would also provide t-shirts, mugs, and all of these various things. Well, during that time of coming up with that, I knew that Facebook was really important. Having a Facebook page, especially a business page, was important. And that is when I got more involved in Facebook, creating Facebook ads, Google ads, learning how to manage a Facebook page. And that was pretty much the main thing that I was doing, I would say, towards the end of my teaching career. I was kind of managing our Facebook page and kind of just learning, actually just taking time to kind of dabble and learn. And I think by introducing myself to one form of digital marketing, because social media is one form, I started to like it. I started to kind of engulf myself in it. And I liked how similar it seemed to science. It seemed very similar to science because it was a lot of experimentation and testing. So,
yeah. So you said you felt that that was the end of your teaching career. Now you've been you were teaching for like over 15 years, and you taught biology, environmental science, botany, zoology, and you know even the students that you would teach. And I can attest. I mean, they loved you as a teacher. Everybody loved Miss Haywood. And at the time when you were in Wisconsin, you were Miss Reynolds. So what made you decide to finally step out on faith and just leave teaching behind?
Well, and I guess we didn't start off with that. I did. I was a teacher for 16 years, and that started back in 2002. And during this time, even when we were making pictures, I was still teaching. So these were things that I was doing in addition to teaching. Right. But when I finally decided that it was time to really go, it was probably, I would say, within my maybe 13th or 14th year teaching, I started to get a nudge that the passion that I had for teaching, it wasn't the same as when I started. And it was just a little inkling that maybe you could be doing something different, or maybe the Lord is trying to get you to go in a different direction. I didn't know what that direction was. I thought maybe it was another job because I did apply for various jobs and nothing came about from that. But as time went on, I just realized that I just didn't want to teach anymore. I having to teach about mitosis and the phases and all of these different things, it was just like there was no love for it anymore. I loved the students and all of that. That was great. But it just that same passion that I used to have was going away. And towards the end, probably towards the end of my teaching career, our school was adopting a lot of various technology, from iPad one-on-one to various programs that allow teachers to do a lot more things online with the students. And I found myself really loving all of the new technology and loving learning it and loving trying to teach it to other colleagues. And that just became my love. So it was like I was starting to get more passionate about the technology. The thing that finally made me leave, like to say, no, I'm not coming back, was I had gotten my schedule to teach for the following year. And the schedule, I was going to be teaching 5 classes in a row without a break. My pay had decreased, and trying to make up what I was lacking, I was going to have to work all of these extra committees and things like that in order to make up what I was losing from my job. So what I decided to do instead was I went in and told my principal at the time that this would be my last year and I was going to come out with my husband, Al, and we were going to do this entrepreneurship together. And that was all she wrote, and I haven't been back since. So,
I remember that day as clear as day, because you actually signed your contract. It was on a Friday and you went back to your room. And I think that's when you started to feel that little uneasiness, and you gave me a call and you just basically said, you know, I'm ready to step out. I just can't do this no more. So you took that contract you signed 3 hours prior back to the principal and basically told him, look, I'm done. I'm done.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing also that prompted me to go ahead and go back to the principal and tell him this was I was looking through my phone, and all of a sudden this verse of scripture came up, and it was Deuteronomy 31:6. And it said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And I felt like that specific verse was there specifically for me at that time, speaking to my situation. And the Lord was like, it's time to go. And that was the only confirmation at that time that I needed. And it was time to go. So I went in and said, this is, I'm done.
You gone. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. Interesting story with that. You know, when the Lord says move, I mean, just like from my interview from you last week, I was in my car praying to him saying, Lord, I'm feeling like I need to just go ahead and step on out on faith. And he allowed it, you know.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So, what has been one of the most memorable moments from being an entrepreneur thus far? I mean, we've been doing this. Well, you came out in 2016, right? Was it 16? Yeah.
Yes.
So you've been doing it for quite a little bit of years. So what's the most memorable for you?
Well, right now, one of the most memorable was probably two things. One, when I first came out of teaching, we had the opportunity to go to this conference, and the conference, it was a free conference, and basically it was showing you the various tools and techniques and strategies that your business needed to thrive online. And it just really made me feel like an entrepreneur being amongst other entrepreneurs. And it was just exciting because at that time when we went, technically, if I was still working, I would have been back in the classroom. And so now I'm not in the classroom. I'm actually in a room full of other small business owners and things like that, and kind of gleaning and learning different things from them. And that was just the coolest experience, at least for me, it was. The second one that was very, very memorable was when I was able to secure our first website client, or one of my first website clients for our business, through a Facebook group. We have a client that was asking a question in a Facebook group, and it didn't seem like her questions were being answered. I reached out through instant message and instant messaged her about what were some of her needs, and we were basically able to meet the needs of that specific client. And actually, she's been doing great ever since. And that was a long time ago. That was like when I first came out. So that was very exciting for me.
Right. And that first website was Right Step Resumes, Ashley Watkins in Alabama.
So, yes, it was.
Yep. And I believe we were in, where were we at? We were in a hotel room somewhere.
We're in Detroit.
That's right. We were in Detroit when you got that post and you responded right then and there. And she responded quickly, like back to you. And then the rest was history from that.
The rest was history. Yeah. And it just made me feel good that I could come out of teaching and then actually contribute to the household and really explain, you know, why having a website was important, because I had seen you do it many times and I really knew the importance of having a website, because that is what we've been doing for so long anyway. So it was a great experience. It was a great experience. I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, there are still entrepreneurs out here without a website, you know, using Facebook as their website, or just, you know, well, you know what? That's going to be another podcast. So we ain't going to get into that. So what are three interesting facts that you want your audience to know about you? Just three. I know you got many, because you are the infamous. So
That's true. I am the infamous. Number one, I'm the oldest of seven siblings, and that's always fun because we try to get together as much as we can, and they're all older now, but it was always a good time when they were younger, and it's still fun to this day. Number two, I love making up songs. I'll make up a song at any time, at any moment with my husband, and just come up with random songs. It's just something that I enjoy doing just for fun, not to sell, not anything like that. Just,
hey, you
just
never know.
For fun. Just for fun. Yeah, true. But just for fun. And I love hot chocolate at any time, especially my husband's hot chocolate, because it's really good. It doesn't matter if it's summer, spring, fall, winter. You will sometimes find me with a good cup of hot chocolate and marshmallows.
So as an estimate, last year, 2021, how many cups of hot chocolate do you think you drank?
I feel like I have probably 40, 50.
40 to 50 cups of hot chocolate throughout the year.
Maybe throughout the year. But now, since you asked that question, now I'm going to have to start to count and keep a journal of that.
Right. Ooh. Well, I think I got a couple more. Well, no, I think I got one more question for you. What is the best business advice you've ever received?
Well, the best business advice that I've ever received, it was a long time ago. And it was when my parents had started their janitorial company, and having seven children, we were all instrumental in helping in the early years of the company. And
how old were you?
I was
in the early years.
In the early years, I was in my 20s.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
No, I was in my 20s. There okay, were so some we others
gonna,
who was that
yeah,
might
we
have
say,
not
yeah.
been.
Yeah, we're going to say the age because that would have been illegal.
I'm talking about me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So basically, when we were cleaning various clinics at the time, when I would clean, let's say, one of the stainless steel sinks, and maybe I didn't get it quite right, my dad would come in and he would show me how to do it. And he also told me at that time, you know, when you're cleaning, you want to make sure that even in cleaning that you're doing all to the glory of God. And it stuck with me for a lot of years, because the work that we are called to do on this earth, it is to bring him glory. So whether it is cleaning a stainless steel sink, a toilet, mopping a floor, or whether it is providing websites for clients or whatever it may be, anything in between, it should all be done for his glory. So that is something that stuck with me from then and on.
I can definitely say that we do take that literally, because whenever we're doing work for our clients, we do pray before each project, asking the Lord to guide our hands, give us wisdom and things like that. So, and usually our projects come out really, really well, whether if it's web design, coaching, logo design, whatever it is that we're doing, our clients are always satisfied. Having that mentality, whatever you do it in the glory of him, you're going to always be successful.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I think that's the main focus. If we're doing that, then we are a success, right? Because we're doing it for him. I think one other thing that I wanted to add, it's not on the list, but the one reason why we decided to call this the We Pivot Podcast is because not only are people pivoting in their careers, some people may decide that they are going to pivot from a career in teaching, social work, any type of corporate 9-to-5 into entrepreneurship. And that is a change. That is a change that is happening. And as you pivot and as you start some type of business for yourself, you're going to need digital marketing. And that is our job, to kind of help you as you pivot it, because we know how hard it was coming out of a 9-to-5 doing our own business, how hard it is to find information, the right information on digital marketing and how to do it effectively. So we're trying to help women who have done that. And we also know that as you're doing your business, you will experience many times of pivoting within your own business, where you might have been doing one thing and you had to totally change. You might have had one target market, but you realized that really wasn't your target market. You needed to change that target market to the actual one that actually wanted your specific offer. So there's a lot of pivoting that happens, and especially in digital marketing, with just the technology alone, algorithms change, software changes. There's a lot of things that happen, and our goal is to keep you abreast of all of those things so you can stay on top.
Well said. Well said. Well, Miss Tona Haywood, we do appreciate you coming on here and just letting the audience know who you are, a little bit more about, you know, how you got into entrepreneurship and the things that has influenced you. So we do appreciate that, you know, your audience do, because honestly, I mean, we know a lot of people outside of our family, and sometimes giving them a little bit of extra of who we are goes a long way. I think so. I don't know.
I agree.
Do you want to give the audience a sneak peek of what's going to be on the next podcast, or should we just wait until it's posted?
We'll just wait until it's posted, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You won't want to miss it.
Guaranteed. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening in. And we will see you. Well, not see you. We will talk to you on our next podcast. This is the We Pivot Podcast. Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
We're so excited that you tuned in to the latest episode of the We Pivot Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Now, whether this is your first time or not, please make sure to subscribe and share with a friend who can also use some digital marketing guidance as well. Until next time.